God is good. I'll be glad when he takes this pain out of my chest. I'm still suffering with a little bit of a bruised rib. Praise God. Love. God is love. That's what the Bible tells us. God is love. I'll show you the verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask today, God, you will just speak to our hearts again. Draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord, to learn how to love. Help us to know what love really is and to be able to demonstrate it in all of our affairs. But God, we thank you that you are love and that you pour your love out on us. Bless us here today and with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, the Bible says that God is love. I want to, you know, before I get into really what I was going to talk about today, I want to just throw a little side curve at you. something that I found interesting. You can read the Bible in many different ways. You know, you can start at the beginning, go to the end. You can start in the middle and go to wherever you start, though. Wherever you find yourself in God's Word, you can find something just awesome and powerful for your life. Now, it gets a little difficult in the Old Testament. You can get stuck in some passages like, wow, what is that? You know, but if you understand that it's all about leading us to Christ, it's helpful. But I want to encourage you to look at the Scriptures sometimes just from a different angle. It's important. And I'm not saying to twist them, and I'm not saying to try to distort what it's saying. But don't always get stuck in one mindset and don't get, you know, put God in a little bit of a box. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Because we see here that the Bible says that God is love. And so I took that verse, that word, love, and I put it in the place of wherever God is found in the Bible. And it's a very interesting read. For instance, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of love was hovering over the face of the waters. Then love said, let there be light, and there was light. And love saw the light, that it was good, and love divided the light from the darkness. Isn't that interesting? If God is love, then just when you read the Bible, you find where you see the word God, put the word love in there, and sometimes it just kind of opens things up a little different perspective. You know, a lot of people see God as this you know, harsh and mean judge waiting to pounce on people that do something wrong. Well, when you put the word love in the place of God, you see that's not the case at all. God loves us. He loves us deeply. I'm going to share another verse in Genesis in a few minutes, but we're going to talk about the five love languages. I've been wanting to get into the details of the five love languages, and I thought I was going to do that today, but I'm still kind of in intro mode, introducing us to some of the ideas that there are specific languages of love that we can speak to one another. And if we're going to understand that God is love, and if we're going to get rid of that hum, I got to unplug that. If we're going to understand that God is love, then we have to understand also that if we're going to talk about love languages, then we're talking about how God communicates. We're talking about God's actions. We're talking about God's character. And so, I don't know, you know, I know that the author of the book, The Five Love Languages, his name is Gary Chapman. He's a Christian counselor. And so I trust that, you know, these ideas came from God, and I trust that it was the Lord that inspired him to write that book and to teach us these love languages. But in order for it to be true, then it needs to talk about the characteristics and the actions of God if we're going to talk about love. And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about God's Word, and thinking about, okay, so where is it that we see God demonstrate these five love languages so that we can say, because anybody can say anything, right? But it doesn't always mean it's true. And so, where, God, is it true that you show us love in the means of words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, personal touch, and receiving gifts. And the first verse that came to mind was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." I'm like, really, God? All the love languages are there? Yes, they are. God said, words of affirmation, spoken word. Let us, that's quality time. Let us. Not God, you know, not just, you know, one, but us together. That's quality time. Make man, make, that's an act of service. In our image, that's a very personal touch. Our image. According to our likeness. It's like they gave themselves gifts. It's really interesting. You know, that might be, you know, some might be thinking, oh, that's a little bit of a stretch. Yeah, it might be a little bit of a stretch. But you know what? I think it's all there. It's very interesting. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. You know, God is all about words of affirmation. God is all about quality time. He's all about acts of service. He's all about personal touch. And he's all about receiving of gifts. What's the Bible say? God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Right? His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him. Well, if you believe in him, you know, when you believe in someone else, you know, what's that say? That means there's quality in that relationship. Right? And so God is all about the five love languages. Let me show you something else in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, that's words of affirmation, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and clanging cymbal. We all understand that the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter, right? And so you would expect, you would find the five love languages in them. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, that's an act of service, moving mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, that falls in the category of receiving gifts. You sell what you have, you give to the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, that's personal touch. You give up your physical body. But have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. When you suffer long with someone and you're kind with someone, that you spend some quality time with that person. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not envy. Verse 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, if you see there that in verse 5 I have highlighted, does not seek its own. Why is that important? Does not seek its own. It's important because it goes along with what we're talking about here. The idea of loving somebody in a matter that matters to them, not in a matter that matters to you. You see, if we seek our own, if all we want to do is love people the way we want to be loved, we're going to miss a lot of love in a lot of people. A lot of people are not going to feel it. Because not everybody speaks the same love language. We went over this last week. We talked about words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, personal touch, receiving of gifts. Did anybody not take the test? You know what I'm talking about. You didn't take the test? Oh, brother, we got something for you right up here in the front. Afterwards, just go grab one and take the test. It's important to know what your love language is. You'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll learn a lot about why it is that certain things matter to you and why it is that you do certain things. Why it is that when you try to show somebody love, you do whatever it is you do. If you know what your love language is, you'll understand that. And so, how many people that did take the test know that your love language is words of affirmation? Anybody? We have a couple. Words matter to you. And you know what? I'll pick on Troy for a moment. I trust he won't get mad at me. I call him out. It fits that Troy is a man of words of affirmation. How many of you had said to Troy, "How you doing today?" And he says what? Super fantastic, right? Super excellent. He's always got this greeting. There's music playing and angels singing. Anybody else have a cell phone they need to turn off? Yeah. But Troy, he speaks like that because he's a man of words of affirmation. He understands words of affirmation, and he speaks them to himself. I'm super fantastic. Super califragilistic. That's me. Words matter to Troy. And words matter to Marty. If you want to fill their love tank, if you want to make them feel love, you want to do something special for them, just show up and say, "You know what? You look really nice today." That's all it takes. That's all it takes. "I'm so glad you're here. I'm filling her." Look at, she's getting filled up over there just because words of affirmation are love. Okay, who found out that your love language is quality time? Ooh, lots of people. Look around. Keep your hand up. Look around. Ooh, quality timers. Is that your primary? Well, I'm saying primary. This is your primary. You can put your hands down. Quality timers. Quality time is my secondary. I'm real, you know. My primary love language is physical touch. My secondary is quality time. There's a lot of people that fall close to the quality time love language. And that's a beautiful thing because quality timers like to spend time with others. Quality timers, they like to do things with people. They like to have conversations with people. They like to just be in the presence of people. That's what quality timers is all about. And we saw a whole bunch of hands. You know what I'm really curious of when we have a lunch after the service? Is it all the quality timers that stay and everybody else leaves? I'll have to pay attention to that. Who found out your acts of service? Oh, a few. God bless those who live with people that are acts of service. This is true. The acts of service people are the ones that are cooking the meal and serving the meal. But acts of service people, so the quality timers can hang out upstairs and chat while the acts of service people are working. Well, praise the Lord. We got somebody to do the dishes. Amen. And it's interesting how the love language intermingle with each other, too, if you're more than one. Some people are... I've only met a few people that are balanced all the way across where they just hit this... You know, they were even all the way across with all the love languages. That person, in my mind, is either really easy to help them feel loved or it's very difficult. I'm not really sure. But it seems like whatever it is that you do for them, however it is you show them love, they're going to feel it. They're going to receive it. Who's personal touch? Physical touch? I am. That was your second one. Yeah. I found in my research, and I teach this class a lot about love languages, and I found that most people fall into the personal touch quality timers. Most. And I'm not saying all, but if I was to have to, in a group like this, if I was to ask, okay, who are the quality timers and who are the personal touchers, I would get the majority of the group. Who is receiving gifts? Who just loves receiving gifts? That's your primary love language. Nobody? Yeah, the kids. Yeah. The kids are all downstairs. You'd rather somebody tell you that they love you than just show up with a gift, drop it off your door, and run away. Right? What is that? Right? And so praise the Lord, guys. Valentine's Day is Tuesday, and none of the women said they wanted to receive gifts. Hallelujah. Oh. But we, that is true. A gift would be easier than what I'm going to have to do to show my wife that I love her. Yeah. I actually started yesterday. I don't know if she knows that or not, but yeah. Because my wife is acts of service, and I'll talk about that in a moment, because there's another angle that I have to discuss before we even get into the particulars of the love languages. Love does not seek its own. In order to show others that we love them, we must speak their particular love language in their particular dialect. Now, this is something that I don't know if I covered the last time we went across this. But just like verbal languages, there are particular dialects to each love language. And what I mean by dialects is, even though you may speak the same language, it doesn't always sound the same, right? If you go to Boston, you drive a car, and you park the car. Yeah, you park the car. If you go to Louisiana, I can't even talk like those people. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
There you go.
He did it. Oh, you.
Come on down.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, we got a guy that can speak Southern. Hallelujah.
Get some crawfish.
You go out to California, and it's a different dialect yet. Yeah. Yeah. So you see what I'm saying? There's different dialects and different people. When you go to different places in the country, they like to hear their language in a dialect that they understand. How many of you ever watched Swamp People on cable? There's a show called Swamp People. Me and Cruz used to watch it. They're speaking English, but they have subtitles because you can't understand a word they're saying. There's a guy, I don't know if you ever watched that show, Moonshiners. Anybody watch Moonshiners? Oh! There's a guy on there, same thing, subtitles, because you cannot understand what he's saying. And so understanding there's different dialects. There's different dialects when it comes to quality time. You might be a quality timer who likes to have the dialect of quality activity, which means you feel most love when somebody is participating with you doing something. You know, maybe you're baking cookies together. Maybe you're riding bikes together. You know, maybe you're playing tennis together, or you're doing something together actively. That would be a dialect. You know, but you may have two different people that are quality timers that think, well, you know what, I'm a quality time person, they're a quality time person, so all I got to do is sit on one end of the couch and they can sit on the other end of the couch and we can watch the same TV program. Well, if that's not their dialect, it ain't going to work. They are not going to feel love. They're going to be sitting there like, how come he won't do anything with me? And the other one's like, I'm doing something with her. Hallelujah. I'm watching TV. Yeah. It doesn't get it. It doesn't work. My wife, I'm not going to throw you under the bus. I'm just going to tell you the truth. My wife is, her dialect is more of activity. When we do something together, like remodel the house, you're laughing, but it's true. For me, she feels most loved when we're remodeling the house together. It tears her apart, you know. And she also, like, every Monday she goes to the bank. She's got errands to run and go to the store and this and that. She loves for me to go along with her and do those things with her. And she gets really torn, though, if I'm in the middle of a project at the house and I'm working on the house, which she really loves. What do I do? Do I make him Do I make him go with me? Or do I let him stay home and do what I really want him to do? Yeah. I'm like, honey, which would you rather I do? I got this project I can do for you, or I can waste the day driving along with you. It's not a waste to her, but to me it's like, I'm not getting anything done. I'm just driving the car. She was torn. We watch TV together, right? We've been watching Netflix series and stuff like that. We've been watching Heartland lately, which is really good. It's about horses and all this stuff. It's a good one, right? Have you seen it all? Almost? Yeah, we only got like 15 or 16 episodes left, and then we're done. And then hopefully Longmire will have a new season come out, and we can finish that one, but whatever. But we watch TV together. More times than not, while we're watching TV together, she'll hand me her little Kindle. Because she's playing a game, and she wants me to play the game with her. And so, because her dialect is more about activity than it is just sitting there spending time together watching TV. And so she'll hand the thing to me. And so it's like, okay, now. Yes, brother. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Amen. For the value of the, for the sake of the recording, what Brother Paul shared with us is the Lord's Prayer. Talking about the Lord's love language. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Think about that for a moment. That's at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. How is it that we are supposed to show love to God? When we talk about seek not your own, right? We say to God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Right? And so understand there are different dialects. Unfortunately, for people that are receiving gifts, they have a dialect too. For some, they might just need you to pick up a little box of candy. It can be simple. It could be a pack of gum. But for others, it might take diamonds. You need to know the dialect. Acts of service. There are certain things that I could do. Take out the trash. Put away my stuff. Things that are just expected. I might think, well, that's an act of service if I take out the trash. No, that's just expected. That's not an act of service. That's what you're supposed to do. An act of service is something, in my wife's dialect, is something that she can't accomplish on her own. Hallelujah, I didn't know you could take the trash out. I better be careful, or I'm not going to be feeling the love later. But to do something for her that she can't do her for herself. Now, our vacuum cleaner. Vacuum cleaners are a little heavy. My wife's back is bad. If she vacuums the carpet, it bothers her back. She likes for me to vacuum the thing for her. Do the vacuuming. That's an act of service. That's part of the dialect that I need to speak to her. Things that she can't do herself. Physical touch. There's different dialects. Children, they need your hugs. They need your cuddles. They need you to hold their hand. Teenagers, they get a little more rough and tumble. If you have boys, you understand this. All of a sudden, they're wrestling around and punching each other and driving you crazy because they're knocking the house apart. And as you grow into adulthood, it changes again. And those of you who are adults, I don't have to explain that to you. And so there's different dialects. And I think it's very important that we understand what the dialect is along with what the love language is. It's just as important. Because you might know, now that we know everybody's love language, if you don't speak it in a dialect that they understand, it's like you're not speaking it at all. And so it's very important. And so what Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says there is no greater commandments than thee. And so according to Jesus, there is nothing greater than to be in a right, loving relationship with God and a right, loving relationship with man. And you cannot be in a right, loving relationship with man or with your neighbor or with even your loved ones if you don't know what their love language is and you don't know what the dialect of that love language is. It's very important. I've said this 100 times. We have to get the love right. We have to. There's nothing greater than that. And so here's the question. What's your love language, and how do you like it spoken to you? That's important. If you're in a relationship with somebody, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, it's husband, wife, father, children, friends, whatever the relationship is. If you know your love language and you know how you like it spoken to you, it would be a good, and you're not feeling it from your loved ones, it'd be a good idea to communicate to them, hey, you know what? This is what I really like. This is what I really need. And hopefully, the other person will be wise enough and humble enough to say, okay, I will do that for you because I love you. And the other question is, what's the love language of the one that you want to show love to? And how do they like it spoken to them? Do we even care? You know, until we became aware of love languages and dialects, have we even cared to know what matters to the people that we love? You see, it's very important. How can you say to somebody, I love you, if you don't speak their language in a manner that they understand? Right? And so, I'm going to be short this week because it's like 11:45 and I'm almost out. I'll see if I can stretch it. Words of affirmation. Yeah, we still have an offering to take up. Words of affirmation. If you took the test, there's a sheet on the front of there. It says, actions don't always speak louder than words. If this is your love language, unsolicited compliments mean the world to you. Hearing the words, I love you, are important. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends your spirit skyward. Now, it also says, and this is something I haven't touched on yet, insults can leave you shattered and are not easily forgotten. One of the things that I try to talk to, I try to communicate to the men in the fatherhood group where I go, because in the fatherhood group, you know, we're learning how to be better fathers. We learn, you know, different things, and we have an opportunity to share teachable moments and things like that. And I teach love language class there, but one of the things that I try to communicate to them, if you know what your child's love language is, do not punish your child using their love language. In other words, if you are a screamer, not calling anybody out here, but if you are a screamer and your child's love language is words of affirmation and all you do is scream at them, you're gonna that's almost like abuse to their love language. They will be so hurt. And there's another thing about punishing children. For instance, it is, especially if you're a screamer, you punish the action and not the person. In other words, children do stupid things. Anybody got children that do stupid things? There's a difference between saying, that was a stupid thing you did, versus, you're stupid. You understand? It makes a difference. And if you got a child whose love language is words of affirmation and you're punishing them and you say, why are you so stupid? That kid's going to grow up thinking he's stupid. And he's never going to lose that. You're going to hurt that child. If your child's love language is physical touch, do not take a belt to them. In today's world, you ought to be careful. If you're going to pull off a belt anyway, you can find yourself down a CPS. Somebody's going to show up at your door. Now, most of us who are my age and older, we understand what it is to get the belt, and we're glad for it, believe it or not. Yeah. We sure wish... Oh, boy, did I open up a can of worms there. For some, it was a belt. For some, it was a wooden spoon, whatever. But you know what? If your child's love language is physical touch, and you beat them, you lift a hand to them, you're going to damage that child. They will be broken. Don't make me say that. But you understand what I'm saying. It says, insults can leave you shattered and are not easily forgotten. Quality time. For those whose love language is spoken with quality time, nothing says I love you like full undivided attention. Being there for this type of person is critical, but really being there with the TV off, the fork and the knife down, all the chores and tasks on standby, makes your significant other feel truly special and loved. When it's all about them, anybody know somebody that it's got to always be about them? Well, the reason is it's because it's their love language. It has to be about them. Excuse me? It can be draining. Trust me, acts of service can be draining too, sister. Let me tell you. Distractions, postponed dates, failure to listen can be especially hurtful. There's two sides to all of this. And if you're a vindictive person and you realize the negative side of speaking love languages, you can do a lot of damage to somebody real quick. Receiving gifts, don't mistake this love language with materialism. The receiver of gifts thrives on the love, the thoughtfulness, and the effort behind the gift. That's why it doesn't matter if it's a pack of gum or whatever. If you speak this language, the perfect gift is a gesture that shows that you are known, you are cared for, you are prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring the gift to you. A missed birthday, a missed anniversary, or a missed Valentine's Day, hint, hint. Or a thoughtless gift would be disastrous, and so would the absence of everyday gestures. Acts of service. Can vacuuming the floors really be an expression of love? I can tell you, absolutely. That's what it says there, absolutely. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibilities weighing on an acts of service person will speak volumes. The words he or she want to hear is, let me do that for you. Laziness, broken commitments, making more work for them, tell speakers of this language their feelings don't matter. In other words, if I leave my stuff laying all around the house and I make more work for her, I'm doing more harm than I am good. I could vacuum all day long, but if I create more work somewhere else, it's really not going to matter. Last one, physical touch. This language isn't all about the bedroom. A person whose primary language is physical touch is not surprisingly very touchy. Hugs, pats on the back, holding hands, thoughtful touches on the arm, shoulders, or face. It's funny because the first time we went through this and I revealed that my primary love language is physical touch, after the service, everybody wanted to shake my hand, hug me, pat me on the back. It's all right. You don't have to do that, okay? They all can be ways to show excitement, concern, care, and love. Physical presence and accessibility are crucial, while neglect or abuse can be unforgivable and destructive. And so again, the whole point of this morning is to help us to understand that there is a difference in love languages, but there's also a difference in dialects within each love language. And so it gets a little trickier. And my recommendation would be to, you know what, if you really want to show love to somebody, communicate with them. What do you really need from me? Because I really want to show you love. And I can't do that if I don't really know what it is that you desire from me. And then on the other side, you communicate what you need from them back. And you might find that when there's open communication and there's understanding of what love languages are and what the dialect of that love language is, then your relationships will thrive a whole lot greater than just trying to go willy-nilly and do it the way you want. And so, love does not seek its own. Somebody want to get me a basket? We have to take up another offering for missions. The missionaries... What was that? Oh. Doing an act of service. You know what? I need to get a list of... Thank you. You can have it. I need to get a list. You know what? I need to make a... Honey, remind me. I need to get a list. She says, oh boy. I need to get a list of our missionaries, find out what their love languages are, and we as a church try to speak it to them, from even if it's from a distance. I think that would be a wonderful thing. When they receive our gifts of finances, so that they can do what it is they do out there, and believe me, the missionaries that we support do a lot. You know, I've seen some missionaries that are out there, none of it that we support, but I've seen some that are out there. It's like, what are you doing? It looks like you're on a vacation. I've never even seen, you know, all I see is pictures of all these places they travel. And it's like, well, isn't that, that's nice, but what are you doing for God? It's rare, but that does happen. But I can tell you this, the missionaries that we support are doing awesome work, and they need a lot of help. And that's why we take up these offerings, and that's why we as a church give to them. But believe me, they really feel loved when they see that check come in every month. And it's a blessing. And so let's... My wife's talking about Leslie Latona, who is in Colombia, and we support her. She does an incredible work down there with the children. In different teen groups and whatnot. But she did communicate that to us. She goes, when she saw us, she said, I just want you to know how grateful I am, because I know when I look at that statement, your name is going to be there, because you guys are so faithful in giving to the mission that she's doing. And so let's pray, and let's ask God to show us how we can love the missionaries that we support. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for love. I thank you that you are love, and I thank you that you communicate it to us, love to us. And I thank you, God, that you are showing us how to communicate love to one another so that we can be better lovers of God and lovers of man. Lord, as we partake of this offering this morning, if we give in this offering, I pray that the missionaries that receive it would feel our love. That somehow, God, these gifts that we send to them would lift their spirits, fill them with joy and hope. And God, let them know that there is a church in Geneva that loves them. And so we ask your blessing on this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would just pass that around. I thank you for your giving. Next week, I'm going to do my best to try to talk about some of the particulars of the love languages rather than just introduce you and tell you that there are some. And we'll get through that in the next couple of weeks. I know last time I took a week for each one, but I'm not going to do that this time. Well, praise God. Has anybody who took the test learned something about yourself that you didn't know before? I know I did. I learned a lot about myself. And I also learned why certain things in my life really mattered. Certain things in my life I've never forgotten. But it explained to me partly who I am and why I am who I am. And it's really interesting. But knowing that there are more than one different love languages out there, it's important for us to be able to really know those people that we want to love, so that we can communicate love in a manner in their lives that will have an impact they will never forget. Is there someone in the back? Thank you. Oh, thank you. How many would like to, you know, we all, who's got a camera, right? Who likes to take pictures? We all like to take pictures. Why do we like to take pictures? Because we freeze memories. That's what it's all about. Memories. We don't want to miss anything. We want things that have an impact in our life to be there, right? We record these memories because these are special moments in our life. But you know what? If you speak somebody's love language in a powerful way, you implant a memory that has an impact on them. You want to have an impact on the people around you? Learn their love language and speak it. You couldn't do anything better for them in this life than impacting somebody with love. Father, I thank you for your word. And again, I thank you for your love. And God, as we continue throughout this Valentine's week, Lord, help us to get the love right. Help us to speak it in such a profound, powerful way that the love that is given and the love that is received will be moments and memories that will never be forgotten. Lord, that's one reason why we do communion. Because we do not want to forget the love that you showed on that cross. Lord, bless each one here today in Jesus' name with love. Amen. God bless you all.